Giancarlo drives the ball high and deep to left. This is a no-doubter. And a ball lined and caught by Echeverria.
The Marlins Hot Stove Show with Kyle Seeloff is on 940 Wins.
Here's the pitch.
Miami Sports.
And Yelich drives a ball high and deep, center field, going back, Venable. Up, up, and away, it's gone.
The Marlins offseason baseball on the radio tonight. Great to be back with you on 940 Wins and iHeartRadio.com. On this Monday in South Florida, I'm Kyle Seeloff with you for the next 45 minutes and with you for our third Hot Stove Show of the offseason. David Allen, DA, in the control room pressing all the right buttons tonight. And we've got a good show coming up for you. One of the best beat writers in the business, Marlins beat writer on MLB.com, Joe Fracero, will join us in just a minute. And coming up shortly, former Marlin, a 2004 All-Star and 14-year veteran. In the show, Carl Pavano will join us to chat a little Marlins baseball again. We'll be with you every Monday night throughout the offseason and into spring training. 45 minutes for you until now, until after the holiday break. And we're certainly going to try and have a terrific show for you each and every Monday night. Don't forget, if you miss any of our Hot Stove shows, you can head to marlins.com/podcasts. Or you can go right to the Marlins Hot Stove page on marlins.com and check out the shows in their entirety on Tuesdays, roughly mid-afternoon, right around lunchtime. So that'll give you a little something to do if you'd like on your lunch break. All right, we're going to get to Joe Fracero in just a couple of minutes. But first, I got to let you know, whether it's a family celebration, a networking event, or a fundraiser for your organization, a Marlins group sales rep can help arrange your group outing at Marlins Park in 2016. Call the Marlins group sales department today, 305-480-2523. Again, that number, 305-480-2523, or email groups@marlins.com. Also, coming up here in about a week and a half now, the Grand Slam Party Latino coming to Marlins Park. The biggest stars in Latin music set to converge in Miami on Saturday, December 5th, for the first concert in Marlins Park history. The musical extravaganza will feature a lineup of over 20 renowned artists together for the first time in concert. See Ricky Martin, Prince Royce, Carlos Vives, Laura Pausini, Alejandro Sanz, Willie Colon, Jerry Rivera, and many more. Don't miss your chance to see these Latin stars live in concert on December 5th. Go to marlins.com/grandslam to lock in your tickets today. Well, without further ado, let's bring them on. Joining us over the phone tonight, really your source for everything Marlins baseball, Marlins beat writer for MLB.com, Joe Fracero. Joe, always a pleasure. How are you?
Kyle, how are you tonight?
I'm very good. Before we get to Marlins-related stuff, I believe you were at the ballpark this weekend for La Serie de las Americas. How was that event?
It was interesting. It was exciting. It's baseball the weekend before Thanksgiving isn't something I'm accustomed to, and I can pretty much watch baseball all year round. But that Caribbean-style atmosphere of sure. Aguilas takes the title over Lara of Venezuela, and it was some good stuff. Some Raul Mondesi, who of the Royals, was in it. You got to see some pretty good players. And it was 2 days. It was 2 days of doubleheaders, so it was both busy days. But overall, I think it's a success. We'll see how it grows and take it from there. But I enjoyed the weekend.
Good baseball, that's for sure, and really a nice event to host the ballpark, people getting their off-season baseball fix in a little bit. All right, Joe, on to more pressing news, Marlins-related news. Everyone wants to know what the heck is going on with Jose Fernandez. I know there have been a lot of reports the last week to week and a half, some calling into question Jose's character. I read your article, Joe, on Marlins.com, and you kind of said just let's see what happens. Let's pump the brakes a little bit. This might be blown a little bit out of proportion. What's the latest with Jose in the trade rumors, Joe?
Yeah, the trade rumor part of it, I don't think there's anything there. I don't think, there was ever really any thought of moving Jose, and I don't think they're going to move Jose. And the standard lines that we listen, the team listens on everyone, and that's the standard policy for all 30 teams. Not all 30 teams say it, because teams aren't necessarily, I'm sure teams are calling New York, and they did, they called the Mets DeGrom or Syndergaard for Andrelton Simmons. They chose not to make that trade. So, you get those type of calls, just like we're hearing some calls about D. Gordon, but I don't put really any stock in any of the Jose rumors without specifics just, you know, general terms that there's growing interest and opinions around the league when there was really no opinions around the league because there was no buzz over a potential trade at the GM meetings. Right. And not in, and 5-6 different sources have told me there's no truth to any of it. So that aspect of it, I don't think there's anything there.
Joe, just before 6 o'clock, and you tweeted it out, it's now on Marlins.com, an article detailing that Scott Boras and the Marlins have chatted about Jose's workload in 2016. I would say that's a step in the right direction, given what we heard about 2 weeks ago.
Absolutely. And, you know, that to me is the issue. It's, you know, the character stuff and some of the stuff that went on in the clubhouse. You know, you were there, Kyle, this year. Yeah. It was kind of a mess, and most of it was in the first half and of the season before guys were trading and before the team kind of bonded a little more together.
Sure.
Jose wasn't the only disgruntled player in that clubhouse, mm-hmm. as you well know. Now on to, you know, I think this is always about innings, you know, and, you know, how effective could Jose be in this 3-year window that he's about to enter of, you know, arbitration, assuming the Marlins, you know, don't sign him long-term, then potentially becomes a trade option down the road. But what type of production can you look at in 16 from, right, Jose Fernandez? Of course, at the GM meeting, Scott Boras was asked about it, you know, said that, you know, he'd be, you know, in touch with the Marlins, and David Sampson came out, made his comments that he would not be directly consulted. Well, I heard today that, you know, after David's comments, I don't know the exact date, but it was shortly after that, so it was in the past week or so, Michael Hill kind of initiated a call to Scott Boras. It was a conference call. Peter Gammons reported it was a 3-hour conference call. I heard that David was not involved in that, but they, you know, Scott is definitely a part of the discussions. You know, the bottom line is Jose Fernandez can have whoever he wants,
right,
on his calls to determine how he pitches. He obviously wants the surgeon that performed the Tommy John, which is Dr. Neil Eletrosh, based in L.A., who was Scott Boras's appointed surgeon to do the surgery. So I never really thought Scott Boras would not be included, but at least those steps are in the, you know, in the right direction. Conversations have already begun about putting together an innings plan for Jose, right, in 2016, And if this guy was a hot trade item, I don't think the Marlins would be having such discussions.
Well, a lot I want to get to. We'll see how much we can fit in, Joe. But staying on the topic of Jose Fernandez for a minute, and speaking of an innings limit on him, that has a huge trickle-down effect on this entire starting rotation. We'll see what they do in free agency. But, Joe, if the Marlins cannot retain Jose Fernandez once he becomes a free agent, when will they legitimately shop Jose so they can get value in return? Would that be something that takes place next offseason when he would still have 2 years of team control left and the Marlins could get something in return? I cannot imagine he would just walk out of South Florida.
I could see more after the 17 All-Star game.
Okay.
When, you know, that's obviously a huge event. And keep in mind what Jose represents, and they're hoping to be good.
Sure.
You know, obviously. Let's kind of get that. You know, I think they're looking to get a guy to be behind Jose and in front of Cozart or Kohler or a guy or two, and then take it from there and build this thing. Now, if Jose is doing really well and the team is moving in the other direction and they feel they could get something, then I think, you know, during the season, whether midterm this year or midterm next year, you would see that. But keep in mind what Jose means to South Florida,
sure,
what he means for a potential renegotiated TV contract, a naming rights, all, mm-hmm, huge revenue streams that the Marlins are hoping to get within the next couple of years. So there's no urgency to move Jose Fernandez.
Joe Fraseru of MLB.com and Marlins.com joining us over the phone tonight. Joe, you've wrote this. It's well known the Marlins are in search of starting pitching this offseason. What's the level of concern within the front office right now, do you think? It's not that the guys that they have aren't capable, but many, as we know, have been injury prone, and some of these young kids have never put a full big league season together, and you take a look at guys like Adam Conley and Justin Nicolino.
Yeah, obviously they want a reliable 30-start, 180-caliber, 200-inning caliber pitcher. You know, and everyone wants a two. I mean, every team, you look, you know, Kyle, we all want a two. I hear the Yankees, they want a two. You know, all these teams want a two, if not an eighth. And so that cost is going to be tremendous, either in dollars, right, or in trade pieces. So I think what they're looking for, ideally, is probably a three. You know, someone who's a three, who's a proven 180 guy. And you can win with threes. The Kansas City Royals did. You know, if you have Jose as a true ace, and if you think that Cozart and Kohler can be threes and add another three, you know, you can bridge enough innings and be in enough games, and that's where my strategy would almost be going with the Royals did.
Right.
Get your bullpen lights out. Get as much bullpen depth as possible. So I could see, you know, a starter, you know, one of those guys, like they said, 180 innings, a mid three to under four ERA, you know, keep you in games and then go after, you know, Ken Giles or Mark Melanson if the Pirates make him available. You know, do that and then just try to make your bullpen even stronger and take that approach.
Speaking on the starting pitching, Joe, and we'll wrap up the starting pitching, do you, and I know it's early, I know it's November 23rd, but do you think the Marlins at some point this season, given what Jose's gone through, he will not be able to pitch a full season, so to speak, in terms of innings? Do you think there's going to be a need for a six-man rotation at some point, and do the Marlins have what it takes to do that?
Yeah, well, you could if you get enough depth, then Nicolino or Conley is in that rotation. You could go six deep. I think teams just don't seem to really like, Kyle, the six-man rotation just because it kind of throws everybody off.
Sure.
Now, I think, let's say Jose's innings limit is 160. You know, how about this plan? He doesn't, you know, he kind of starts a little bit later, even though he reports to spring training, but you kind of gear him up in games maybe a week or two later. Maybe he doesn't make his first start of the season closer to May 1st than, you know, April 1st.
Right.
You know, and then go on that plan where you could map out enough without having him periodically skip a bunch. And then, you know, if you're in and you could get to the postseason, you could stay within that window. And if you're out of it, you could back him off at the end of the year. So, you know, there are ways, and I think teams need to be a little bit more. Everyone makes a big deal of opening day, and for obvious reasons, there's a lot of excitement. But April, typically, weather isn't good.
Right.
Especially down here it is, but when you go up north and we see guys, you know, get arms, hamstrings, arm tightness, you know, early in the year, if you back them off and put together a real plan and are, you know, diligent with that plan, you could get Jose within that window and still make him available for you without having to do a Strasburg situation of a couple of years ago where Washington cost themselves big time by just shutting him down and not letting him pitch in a postseason.
Sure, absolutely. And, you know, I mentioned it last week, Joe, and it's certainly, I know fans can take it negative, but being a realist and looking at things realistically, Jose's going to have some sort of limit. Adam Conley and Justin Nicolino have never pitched a full season in the big leagues. There's uncertainty with Jared Cozart and Henderson Alvarez. And really, the guy that's been your workhorse the last couple of years is Tom Kohler. But anyway, all right, Joe, switching gears a little bit. What's the latest with Marcell Ozuna? Will the Marlins heavily look to move him this winter?
I'm not sure if heavily is the right word, Kyle. Okay. They are open, but, you know, they're not going to take a low ball offer on him. And, you know, there's not enough rift and, you know, he's not in arbitration yet. You know, they have no urgency, you know, to move him. Now, he may be that piece that gets you, you know, an arm. So that's the other thing. They don't have the depth of talent in their organization. So they're going to really have to develop what they have. You know, they brought Jim Benedict in to oversee pitching. They brought him in from the Pirates organization to really kind of work with the good arms they already have in terms of, you know, stuff and try to make them all better. Kyle, to be honest with you, my bigger concern right now than even Jose is Giancarlo Stanton.
Of course.
He hasn't swung a bat yet.
Well, I was going to ask you shortly, too. How is he doing, Joe? I mean, what's the latest with Giancarlo Stanton?
I mean, I'm not, you know, saying that, oh, my God, he's not going to be ready for spring training.
Of course.
But until he swings a bat and we hear he could keep swinging the bat without shutting down, you know, sessions short, and that hand doesn't have any type of numbness in it, you know, then I'm, going to be a little worried because, you know, that injury was supposed to be 4 to 6 weeks, and it's been 3 months.
Right.
And obviously he's, you know, he's doing his off-season conditioning, and what I was told early in December, he will start swinging a bat. And I think once you start hearing reports are everything's going well, then I'll have some peace of mind, but I factor that into Marcell Ozuna as well.
Yep.
You know, Kyle, if you sit around and you move Ozuna, who you're, you know, the fences are coming in. They're going to do something in January. Those fences are coming in. So that should help everybody's power, you know, numbers at home. And if Stanton, for whatever reason, is a little bit further behind or that hand's not responding, where are you going to get your power? You know, Justin Bohr is still pretty much an unknown, even though he had the, you know, solid production. And Ozuna's got capability of knocking the ball out of the park. So you start moving him out, you know, what do you got left if Stanton's not ready? So that, I think, is something that they're keeping in mind. I really, yeah, they're boring right now, but they don't have a lot to do right now. Unless they just said, we want Jose out of here at all costs, which they're not doing, and just make some big blockbuster trade. They're kind of waiting and seeing what the market does. The winter meetings, I don't think they're going to be real active. I think they're going to try to let the big pieces go, the David Prices and the Greinke's get off the board, and then see how pitching shapes up if a team, you know, like the Red Sox gets a surplus, and then they're going to try to pluck off guys that they feel, you know, they can target and get. But this year's it's shaping up a lot differently than last year when they were a lot more high profile.
I think
to them, a successful offseason might be signing D. Gordon long term.
Absolutely. Joe Fracero of MLB.com joining us over the phone tonight on the Marlins Hot Stove Show. Some folks that may not have got the chance to check out your articles recently, of course, pitching is a topic of conversation, Joe, and they're not going to go after some of the top tier free agents pitching-wise. Realistic names out there on the market that could wear a Marlins uniform next season. Let's start with starting pitching.
Oh, I got some in my head who I'm not at liberty to say yet, so I don't want to tip my hand to the competition. But, you know, you see a name like a Kazmir out there as a free agent, and that could be realistic. You know, I don't think John Lackey's realistic because, you know, they're going to check in on everybody, but, you know, they're looking at about a $10 million pitcher.
Right.
You know, so who's going to come here right now that's on the market for $10 million? You know, Rich Hill just got $6 million to go to Oakland. You know, it's like, and that guy's what, 35 years old and had like one good month. So they're a little fearful of the market. Now, where they are money and budget, I'm saying $80 million. It's going to be right around that, their payroll.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what I think is going to happen. They basically kind of overspent in 12. We know what happened. They overspent on players in 14. We know what happened. In 15, we know what happened. So this year they're like, Jeffrey's like, look, we got a core. Let them run out of the box. Let's, you know, get as much good guys that we can, you know, solid players. Let's see if we can hang around. And if the team proves its worth, then I think you could see Jeffrey saying, okay, now I'll open up the purse more and we'll get some money out. And if we need this guy, we'll make an uncomfortable trade if we have to get an arm or a bat or whatever. That's where I see money being spent. I don't see it being spent right now, frankly, because, and I don't necessarily blame Jeffrey on this, the team is so greatly underperformed, it's hard to justify going there and saying, let's just, you know, go nuts and get, you know, Michael Morse and, you know, Latos and guys that it just didn't work out. And then you're Salto Amakia and you're on the hook for, you know, a bunch of dead contracts.
Joe, is there any need for help position player-wise? I mean, pending changes, the starting lineup defensively is set, I would say, outside of Justin Bohr. He may have even earned himself an opening day job, but barring something unexpected, we can see a very similar defensive alignment out there, maybe outside of like a Marcell Ozuna. But again, you mentioned they're not going to heavily shop Ozuna unless they get something terrific in return.
Yeah. So you're looking at a platoon with Bohr or a late innings defensive replacement for Bohr. And then you're looking at, if Ozuna goes, do you go after like a Dexter Fowler, you know, and try to get him, which would be obviously a really nice piece. And then your dynamic goes to speed type of dynamic. But that's where I see it, you know. And, you know, they're Prado, Etch, D, you know, JT, the outfield, you know, that's pretty rock solid. That's, you know, kind of saying, you know, last year it didn't work out, but still a lot of this core was good, and let's not overreact and get rid of it all, and let's kind of see what these guys can do and run with that. But, yeah, in answer to your question, I think you're looking at more depth in terms of position players.
Joe Fracero of MLB.com joining us. Got a couple of more questions for Joe. Always terrific to have him on. Let's chat briefly, Joe, about D. Gordon. It was a fabulous first season in Miami. He did it all. He was remarkable. any reason to believe he can't do it again?
Well, I mean, the guy had a career year. You know, he hit 330. To repeat 330 may be difficult, but you have to say this about D. Gordon is his game is starting to flourish and develop. You know, what he's the type of player he's could become. So he definitely changes the game. And I think what you could see differently, if Stanton's fine this year and he gives, you know, the 140, 150 games or whatever, I don't think D's stealing 50 strictly because he gets on base. He's not going to try to run into an out. I think this year some of the caught stealings were a byproduct of the team wasn't scoring, mm-hmm. and D was trying to do too much, and basically his personal stats took a little bit of a blow and gives the analytical community saying he's a bad base runner, which, you know, is a lot of nonsense.
Right.
But, you know, this guy knows his game, and, you know, barring health, there's no reason to think he's not going to be a really, really standout player. Because I tell you, there are GMs after GMs that love this guy and would take him in a heartbeat for all the right reasons. You know, what he means in the clubhouse,
yep.
how he, you know, his work ethic. I mean, this to me, when it's like at the end of the season, Kyle, and, you know, we're hitting October 1st. The season, of course, ended October 4th. I just, in general conversation, I go up to D and I said, hey, D, what are you going to do this month? You know, like, have anything planned? Go home, go on a little vacation or whatever. And the first thing he tells me is, I got four games to
play
first.
All baseball.
Yeah, he wasn't ready to cash it in and talk about, you know, what do you do? Oh, I'm going to make a road trip, wherever. You know, he had four games to play, and that's the type of guy he is, and that's the type of guy that, you know, all teams need, and this team's lucky to have him.
Yeah, he's certainly a leader, and it says a lot about a guy when he's a better person off the field than he is on the field, and D's an absolute terrific guy all the way around. Two more questions as we wrap up with Joe Fracero of MLB.com this evening. Joe, I saw your article on Adany Echevarria this morning. It sounds like he's had a very healthy and productive offseason. Will 2016 finally be the year he garners a gold glove now that Andrelton Simmons, who's been very pesky with the Atlanta Braves, is finally a Los Angeles Angel?
Yeah, and that's the logical one. And yeah, I would say yes. And the thing is, I think he would have won it this year over Crawford and Simmons had he not missed the final 4 or 5 weeks. You know, he was just, you know, doing everything. All the defensive metrics which play into Gold Glove,
yeah.
all favored him, except for, you know, defensive run saved that favored Crawford. But, you know, the UZR and you know, a lot of, you know, the stuff that they were looking at, plus the eye test, Echevarria was really on his way, and his offensive numbers were good, which helps. You know, even though it's a defensive award, you know, the coaches vote on it.
Right.
So, you know, they pay attention to guys who hurt them with the bat as much as the glove. So it's health. You know, Kyle, I mean, this guy made so much, you know, he played more innings than any shortstop. He was outranking everyone in all numbers. And then he gets hurt, and he misses that. And even though he was a finalist and all guys missed a little bit of time, he missed time at the wrong time. So if he stays healthy, we all want to see that and see him ended strong. But, yeah, you're right. If this team – just think about it, if this team, you know, has health and you need that, at least your core, to go. You have a Gold Glover in D,
yep.
potential Gold Glover in Edge. You got what could Stanton do? I mean, he gets Silver Slugger, MVP, if he's healthy.
Yep.
You know, I think only like 10, 11 guys hit 300 this year, and Yelich was one of them. You know, so you got four guys, like half of your team is award winners, all-star caliber guys. So could be fun if they stay healthy.
Joe, on the way out, I saw you about a month ago at the ballpark when the Marlins introduced Don Mattingly as the new manager. It'd be shame on me if we didn't chat about Donnie Baseball for just a minute. In your opinion, Joe, what's he bring to this baseball team? What can we expect, and was this the perfect spot for Don Mattingly?
Well, yeah, stability is the word. You know, that's this team, after all that's gone on the last couple of years and all the, you know, the craziness, this guy has to be a calming, stabilizing force, and that's his number one task. And, you know, immediately all the Jose, you know, rumblings, I would think he might already be making phone calls to Jose to just kind of say, look, you know, we'll handle the clubhouse. If anyone's got any mud to throw, mm-hmm. we're going to handle it internally. You know, and move forward. That's what he's going to handle. He brings credibility. Plus, he brings, you know, he's Jeffrey Loria's handpicked guy.
Yep.
So, you know, you would hope that Jeffrey and the organization would have a little bit of patience with him. If they get out of the blocks 0-3, there shouldn't be rumblings about a manager's job being on the line, which kind of happened this year.
No, it sure does. And it was nice, especially in the press conference, too, when Don Mattingly, he seems to be very, very upfront. He was asked, you know, did you make sure? What was your biggest concern? And he said upfront in front of the media, I want to make sure I'm here for a long time. He mentioned, I want to be here for a decade. I signed a certain contract, but I want to be here a decade. So it should be a lot of fun, Joe. It goes without saying, you were terrific as always. We appreciate the insight here on the Marlins Hot Stove Show. Have a happy and healthy offseason. Enjoy some time with the family, and we'll chat with you soon.
Same to you, Kyle, and all the listeners. Thank you.
There you have it. Joe Fracero of Marlins and MLB.com. Make sure you check out Joe's work. He does a heck of a job. I'd say 90% easily of the content you read on Marlins.com is Joe's work. He's in the know, always around the team, and it's always great to have him on the program. Before we go to break, make sure you get your tickets. The Miami Beach Bowl returning to Marlins Park on Monday, December 21st. The second annual Beach Bowl features a top team from the American Athletic Conference against a team from Conference USA. For more information on tickets, potential matchups, go to MiamiBeachBowl.com and join your Marlins celebrity chef Adrian Calvo at the second annual Taste of Miami at Marlins Park on Thursday, February 18th. Indulge in the stylish flavors of Miami with delectable culinary bites and premium spirits, craft beers and wines from the best local restaurants and breweries. The highlight of the evening will be a sizzling head-to-head live cooking competition between Miami's finest chefs and Marlins ballplayers. For more information on tickets, sponsorships, call 305-480-2550. Again, that's 305-480-2550 or go to marlins.com/taste of Miami. Let's step aside for a couple of minutes. Coming up next, former Marlins All-Star, 14-year veteran of the league, and current analyst on Fox Sports Florida, Carl Pavano, joins the program on 940 Wins and iHeartRadio.com. Welcome back to the Marlins Hot Stove Show. Always great to have you on board. Three shows in now, 3 weeks into the Hot Stove season. A lot of buying and selling expected in the coming weeks throughout Major League Baseball. Always an exciting time now, so we'll be sure to keep you up to date on all the happenings as it pertains to the Marlins over the course of the next month and throughout the entire offseason as well. If you missed any of our conversation with Joe Fracero in our first segment tonight or any Hot Stove content, feel free to check out marlins.com/podcast every Tuesday afternoon, and you'll have access to the show in its entirety. A great first segment tonight with Joe Fracero of MLB and Marlins.com. Joining us right now in segment number two, former Marlins All-Star, 14-year MLB veteran, and current TV personality on Fox Sports Florida. We know him very well down here in South Florida. Former big league pitcher, Carl Pavano. Carl, it's great to have you on tonight. We appreciate the time. How's the offseason, but most importantly, how's the golf game?
Yeah, the off season great. Not playing much golf nowadays. Got three young ones, but we're actually up north right now getting ready to celebrate Thanksgiving. I know everyone's getting ready to do that, so happy Thanksgiving.
Absolutely, and same to you. Happy early Thanksgiving. Carl, a lot I want to chat about. Actually, I'd like to start with your work now on Fox Sports Florida. For the listeners out there, tell us your story a little bit. It's one that evolved over the course of the last couple of years, how you've gotten into the broadcasting side of baseball.
Yeah, you know, I got an opportunity. Actually, the guy that hired me at Fox, John Ballack, not at the time I didn't know it. He was working for ESPN actually when I was pitching in Southington, Connecticut. And ESPN's only a town over, and he was coming watching my games, you know, in high school. And then, you know, obviously my career ended, and he has a relationship with the Marlins, and he had reached out to me to see if I was interested. And, you know, I was just recently retired, and it was an opportunity that I definitely couldn't pass up, obviously with my respect and all the things that, you know, I was able to accomplish, you know, team-wise and with winning the World Series in 2003 with the Marlins. That's a big draw, especially with the ownership I spent a lot of time with and, you know, being Florida resident for a number of years. So the opportunity kind of evolved from that, and it's kind of a cool story. And, you know, obviously I've, you know, great guys that I work with, I've learned a ton from, with from Minervini to Hutton to, you know, Rich Waltz and watching Preston and Conine and just everyone, the staff. So it's a lot of fun. I mean, obviously, it was a soft landing for retirement. You know, I spent a long time in baseball, so I've been, you know, very blessed to have something like this come my way. Obviously, the Marlins, I'm opening a new stadium the last couple of years. Sure. And on the upswing of their franchise, I think it's fun stuff. They just hired Donnie Baseball. I mean,
yeah.
Doesn't get better than that.
No, we'll chat about Don Mattingly in a couple of minutes. I know you have a bit of a connection with him from your days in New York, I do believe. But back to the broadcasting for a minute, Carl. Was it something you had thought about playing? Was it more of a post-career type of thing? Had you ever thought about this side of the game?
Yeah, I definitely thought about that side of the game. I was actually naive of what went into establishing anything on that side of the game. But, it's something that just came my way. I think, baseball, the way, the career, is it's very fleeting. So it was here, I had a long career, and then, you kind of step into a different life. It's a very different adjustment. And this is kept me in baseball, but on a totally different, dynamic and level of it. But it's a lot of fun to actually get the opportunity to share your experience.
Right.
And you see a lot of these guys go through things that you feel like you have experience in. And I think that's one thing about being a player and being, in the game and then, not far removed. I could still recapture a lot of that stuff, a lot of that emotion and feeling. And, you try not to be biased because it's
right.
Being successful in baseball is one of the toughest, obviously a tough thing to do. Successful in anything is tough to do. So, there's going to be ups and downs. So being judgmental, but just, having to relay a message to the fans and give them an insight that maybe they, obviously they don't know because they haven't experienced it. So, I think it's really cool. I'm truly blessed that something like that has come my way.
Before we chat a little Marlins baseball with Carl Pavano, as we wrap up with the broadcasting side of things, you're doing a terrific job for Fox Sports Florida, and I guess you've answered it to an extent, but what's been the most enjoyable part for you? It's always fascinated me to watch a former player who had great success like yourself, Carl, go from the field to the broadcast booth and offer that different perspective. What's been most enjoyable for you?
Oh, I think working with the guys, getting to know the things that make, getting to know what the fans want, getting to know, the team, the guys on the team, so you can, have a good relationship with that, and just the flow of the season. When I was first interviewed for the job, I had to do it was kind of a mock shoot, so I hadn't watched any of the game. They gave me clip notes, and they wanted me to talk, and I knew about, some of the guys in the lineup and da-da-da. But, it's a totally different thing when the game is going on. The things that come to you, that you see while the game is going on compared to when, the game is over and, the emotions are totally different. So, just feeling, I think that's a lot of fun. The whole and the complication of everything, dealing with the cameras and that side of it and trying to put on a good show and be relaxed and handle all that stuff, those challenges have been fun for me. I really enjoy those. But just, the game is baseball. It could be, there's no rhyme or reason why things happen when they do, why they don't. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to be part of. And from this, side of the, the field, you could say.
Carl Pavano joining us on the Marlins Hot Stove Show this evening. Carl, let's chat a little Marlins baseball. There's been a lot of news surrounding Jose Fernandez. I talked about him at length with Joe Fersero in our last segment. Been a lot of news surrounding Jose this past week. Quite frankly, his character has been called into question a little bit. But some are saying the Marlins may be looking to move him. We'll see how all that plays out. But as a former player, Carl, and this is where we're going to pick your brain a little bit, and maybe not specifically this particular scenario, but how does it affect a player being part of trade speculation? Maybe even for you in particular, was there ever a point in your career where a situation like this really struck you?
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone's got to go through that before you understand that, this game is about winning ball games, and it's a team concept, but there are independent things that you have to do to have success in your career that you have to be selfish with, but not, when it comes to being a good teammate or a good person, but like your time and your commitment and your routines and everything you do. So, that could just be very tough to understand until you go through it and say, man, I made things really difficult on myself. I got to learn how to simplify things. I got to learn how to, bring things to the present time level to have success. You can't worry about all these things. You can't worry, you have to be, the uniform and the name on the back has to mean a lot. And when you have that uniform on, you go out and you represent that club and you represent yourself in a professional manner and you put everything you got. You can't get tied up in the, the hearsay or the things that go on in the media, everything gets sensationalized, right. And it could drive you crazy, and it just becomes too much.
Well, you
got to learn to simplify it.
Sure, absolutely. And you know, the part about this, and as a player, though, I know guys will often say, and as a member of the media, seeing guys in the clubhouse, that they're not worried about it, but we're all human, and when you have emotions, you know what comes with the territory of being a Major League Baseball player. But I have got to imagine, it's got to be really tough at times to ignore stuff, especially when people are calling into question, like, the character, the person that you are.
You don't have to ignore it. You have to be a realist. And if they're talking things are bad, why are they bad? If you're not doing your job, then you most likely deserve it. If there's trade talk, that's usually a good thing because that means other teams want you.
Right.
But you can't be swayed from what makes you successful, and that's how you see it affect players. They get pulled out of their routine, they get pulled out of their good habits, and this becomes a distraction, and it derails them from having that work that gives them that consistent success. So and the game has a way of weeding itself out. Some guys can't handle that stuff.
Right.
No matter how you teach them or you talk to them, some guys can't understand it, and the game weeds you out. And some of the guys that do, that handle it and learn to handle it or just handle it from the beginning, go on to just have success and learn to deal with that stuff because it's not going to go away. And
sure.
It's one thing that's made the game popular is the way they're in our laps. The media is in the player's lap. You're going to be accountable for anything good and bad you do nowadays. It's a different game when everything is under the spotlight and scrutinized nowadays. So it's even more so than ever.
Carl Pavano joining us on the Marlins Hot Stove Show. Just a couple of more minutes with the former 14-year veteran, MLB All-Star, certainly part of a magical World Series run here in 2003. Carl, as a pitcher, there's going to be a lot of questions surrounding the starting staff with the Marlins this season. We could talk about it for an hour. Will Henderson Alvarez be healthy? What do we expect from Jose, Conley, Nicolino, so on and so forth? But going into spring training, how do you as a starting pitcher prepare for the season surrounding all the uncertainty? Because there may be a point this season where the Marlins use a six-man rotation. How do you go about that? Because for such a regimented position, that's going to be kind of tough.
Yeah, it is tough in a sense if you think it's tough. Like you hear a lot about, I can't pitch on my sixth day. That extra day, I'm too strong.
Right.
My stuff. Well, if you tell yourself that, a lot of times that's what's going to happen. You just learn to deal with it. You got to learn to deal with it. You go out there, you're a competitor, and you do your job. And sometimes there are going to be things that stack against you mentally that hold you down, and you got to learn to get through those things. But I think as far as their staff, they're going to bring in a new pitching coach. That's going to be a huge impact. I think that there's just that it's there. It just needs to be culminated. I think a whole healthy year of Jose Fernandez is incredible for a team. And then you get someone like, Cozart, who when he's healthy, is going to do his job. And he ended the year throwing 95, 96 with a cutter. Kohler was solid all year. He gave you innings. He gives you depth. He's above that. And there's just a lot of good arms, I think, that could really fill a good spot. But behind Jose, and he's the number one, what goes on after him is the big difference.
Carl, 45 seconds on the way out the door. You were with Don Mattingly with your time in New York. Can you shed some light for us? What can we expect? What can fans expect from Don Mattingly as the manager?
I think he's an intelligent baseball mind, obviously. I mean, he's been around the games, the highs and lows that he's been through, in his career and now his managing career. He was the hitting coach when I was there. So he's hitting coach, bench coach, all-star first baseman. I mean, all that experience goes into a personality, and he brings a level-headed, conscientious guy to the helm that has tons of experience and has been in a market like Los Angeles for 5 years and New York. Now he's in a huge market in Miami, but if you look at it from the baseball-wise, people might not consider it. So I think it's a great combination of talent, character, personality, and experience going into this position. So, he's Donnie Baseball. He brings a ton of stuff to the table, the accolades, but just a very level-headed guy that's going to, you know, do the right thing and you know, go out and win ball games, and that's what it's all about.
And it's certainly a lot to look forward to. It's going to be a lot of fun this season. Carl Pavano, you were absolutely terrific tonight. We always appreciate the insight here on the Marlins Hot Stove Show. Have a happy and healthy offseason. Enjoy some time with the family, and we'll see you up in Jupiter in a couple of months.
Happy Thanksgiving, Kyle.
All right, likewise. Thanks, Carl. That's Carl Pavano. Terrific in segment number two. Joe Fracero, sensational in segment number one. A lot of Marlins talk tonight. The first show, we had a lot of Don Mattingly last week, Perry Hill, Andy Gordon. Tonight, Joe Fracero and Carl Pavano shedding a lot of insight on what's going to take place this offseason, kind of taking you into a player mentality as well. That's going to wrap things up for the third edition of the Marlins Hot Stove Show. As always, a big thank you to David Allen pressing all the right buttons behind the board this evening. A big thank you to Joe Fracero for joining us and Carl Pavano. We'll join you next week, 7 o'clock. You've been listening to the Marlins Hot Stove Show on 940 Winds and iHeartRadio.com.